الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is on earth ولله ملك السماوات والأرض And to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth ولله خزائن السماوات والأرض To Allah belongs the treasures of the heavens and the earth Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ar-Rahman, the compassionate, ar-Rahim, the most merciful, as-Salam, the granter of peace, al-Aziz, the mighty, al-Khaliq, the creator, al-Musawwir, the one who designs and gives shape to the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching the creation all the time. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ Surely Allah is such that nothing is hidden from Him, neither in the earth nor in the sky. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ He is with you wherever you are, and Allah is watchful of whatever you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam with his own hands. Allah commanded angels to make sajda to Adam and appointed Adam as Khalifa on earth. Allah also created a beautiful wife for Adam, and from Adam and Hawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread their generations on the earth. Insan, the human being, has the ability to go high and high and get closer to Allah and surpass the angels. Well, there are so many virtues of believing women, the pious mu'minat, fadail an-nisa, paradise under the feet of mothers. The women folk, they get reward of masjid by praying at home. They are excused from difficult tasks performed outside of the home. They have equal opportunity in terms of akhirah. The men folk, they go outside for Jum'ah, they go in the path of Allah, they go to work of deen. Women folk get the reward of the husband's good deeds by sitting in the home and taking care of home affairs. And in addition to those good deeds, their own good deeds are a bonus, double reward. A pious wife is half of deen. Women folk, they have rights of ownership, of property and inheritance, but they have no obligation to spend on the family. If a woman becomes a widow, helping and assisting a widow, so much reward as if it is Qiyamul Layl, praying all the night and fasting all the days. That much reward assisting a woman. Serving the baby, reward of going in the path of Allah. Nursing and feeding a baby, reward of making a person alive, saving a life. Tarbiyah and upbringing of two daughters makes a person entitled for Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised mu'minat in the Quran with the title Muhsanatil Ghafilat, who never even think of anything touching their honor and dignity. Scholars have written that pious mu'mina, the believing women, inshallah, would go to Jannah long time before their husbands. So much reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Islam is the only religion which gives a very high and honorable status to women folk and gives them the dignity and honor that no other ideology can give. Allah blessed women with unique qualities like affection, tenderness, emotion and grace. She is a small flower-like daughter, a pious sister, a loving wife, a merciful mother, and a distinguished grandmother. Throughout the life, a fountain of love, mercy, and purity. Women have great contributions to Islamic society. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the pious mu'minat. Once some sahabiyat, they had concern, the Quran only mentions and talks about men folk. So they mentioned the concern to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salam came, wahi came, the ayat in Surah Ahzab, where 10 qualities of pious believers, believing men and women are mentioned. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُم مَّغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. For Muslim men and women, for believing men and women, for devout men and women, for truthful men and women, for men and women who are patient and steadfast, for men and women who are humble, for men and women who give charity, for men and women who fast, for men and women who guard their chastity, men and women who engage much in Allah's remembrance, for them Allah has prepared forgiveness and great reward. We will narrate the story of the parents of Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. And you would see the piety and taqwa of parents, how much fruit it brings in the next generation. A young man, his name was Sayyid Abu Salih, he was praying, making worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the side of a river. And after some time he became hungry and he saw a fruit, an apple, was coming floating in the water. So he took it out and ate it. After eating the fruit, he got worried that I didn't ask permission from the owner. So he started traveling on the side of the river and he reached a garden. And he went to the owner of the garden that, please excuse me, forgive me, I have eaten your fruit without permission. The owner was a pious sheikh, Sheikh Sayyid Abdullah. And he saw some good qualities in this young man. So in order for his tarbiyah and to test him, he said, okay, if you take care of my garden for 10 years, I would forgive your mistake. This young man agreed. For 10 years, he stayed in the tarbiyah of the sheikh and 2 more years. After 12 years, the sheikh said, I have one more request. If you fulfill the request, then I will completely forgive you. And the request is that I have a daughter, but the daughter has many defects. She is blind, she is deaf, she is handicapped from hands and feet. If you marry my daughter, then I will forgive your mistake. This young man agreed, I want to get forgiveness for hereafter. So he got married. And then when he went to his wife, he saw she was not blind, not deaf, not handicapped. So he immediately left the place, came back to the sheikh, that maybe by mistake you sent me to another girl. The father said, this is your wife. And the reason I mentioned she is handicapped, because she never went outside of her home. From the hands, she has never done anything against Islam. from the years she had never heard anything bad against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the eyes, she has never seen any non-mahram in her life. So go back to your wife. That was the piety and taqwa in this couple, the man and woman. And Allah blessed this family with Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayh lived about 91 years. And in his gatherings and teachings, sometimes 20,000 people attend. The umara, the wuzara, the fuqara, the awliya, everybody would attend his majlis. Hundreds of people would make tawbah, and several people will come to Islam in his gatherings. And it was narrated that over 5,000 people came to Islam on his hand, and 100,000 criminals and sinners made tawbah on his hand. That was the reward of piety in the parents that comes in the next generation as a fruit. Every day, my respected mothers, sisters and daughters, every day in this world, several 100,000 babies come. Every baby is going to get 2 beautiful eyes. The eyes are universe's ultimate technology. Billions, now let's talk about science. Billions of small operations taking place from the eye to the brain and the cells to enable vision, to see the color, distance, texture, depth. Every eye blink is a ni'mah. Eyes can recognize hundreds of thousands of different colors. Closing of the eye, the shutter speed is so fast, in no time something comes undesirable, we can close our eyes. In Harvard University, a Smithsonian institution, they wrote a paper and they said the world typical or modern telescope has a field of view only 1 degrees, but the human eye has a field of view more than 90 degrees. Universe's ultimate technology. What is the proper use of the eyes? Looking at the Quran is ibadah. Looking at Baytullah is an ibadah. Looking at parents with love and mercy, Allah gives reward of Hajj and Umrah. The best uses of the eyes. But if the eyes are not in control, in today's society and around the world, the sins of casting evil glances, looking at non-mahram, whether in photos or TV or in person, that is the most damaging to a person's spiritual soundness. It's a great roadblock in reforming human soul. There are scenes of shamelessness, immodesty, low morality and obscene acts going around. The Quran has solution. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gazes. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing women to lower their gazes. Worldly beauty does not have much value in the sight of Allah. One of the most beautiful men in history, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he was sold in the market for a few coins. In Surah Yusuf, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دِرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودًا. They sold him for a very low price, for a few dirhams. Worldly beauty, no value. But the height and excellence of all beauty in the hereafter, in the treasures of Allah, forever, forever and lasting enjoy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah knows the fraud of the eyes and all that the hearts conceal. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Verily, your Lord is ever watchful. إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. Verily the hearing and the sight and the heart of each of those you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith Qudsi in Kanzul Ummal, the evil gaze is a poisonous arrow from the arrows of Shaitan. Whoever abstains, whoever stops from it because of my fear, because of fear of Allah, I will grant him such iman that he shall taste the sweetness in his heart. Today, unfortunately, this great wealth, sweetness of iman, is lost in the markets, in the streets, in the parks, in the mixed gatherings. Everywhere there are mixed gatherings of non-mahram. The fitna and the problem of tasawir, pictures of non-mahram in the magazines, on the newspapers, in the ads, in the junk mail, on the internet sites. Problems all over the place. Foundations of Islamic society is based on haya and simplicity. And the foundation of other way of life, immodesty, shamelessness, unnecessary spending. Eyes are the ambassador of the heart. What we see, hear, talk and think, this is going to affect us. Trials and disasters come to the heart because of the eyes. If the eyes remain pure and clean, heart and mind will be pure and clean. Today, people go to the market to buy something valuable, like meat or fish or milk. They would hide it in bags. They would hide it from every bird or cat or anything that can steal it. Somebody has a dollar bill, he would hide it somewhere in a purse. But the same person taking the daughters and sisters out does not care much about the issue of hijab. So what happens? The evildoers, the people who have bad desires, they start looking. And shaitan is out there. There are many misconceptions about hijab. Shaitan puts excuses and nafs teaches laziness and freedom. Young people, they think, I am too young to start wearing hijab. Married people, they think, I am already married. Places where there is co-education, sisters think the class fellows, they are like my real brothers. Joint families with cousins and in-laws living together, they think these are my uncle children. They have seen me as babies, so how can I observe hijab from them? Many, many misconceptions on the issue of hijab. Remember, strange men are opportunist. Crime rates are high. Shaitan is always out there to corrupt the minds of people. And we cannot even trust our own nafs. The issues dealing with the honor and dignity of women are so delicate and complex. When those issues happen, even in the heart and mind, boys or girls could not even mention those to their parents. Husband or wife could not tell each other for lifetime, years of stress, depression, anxiety, losing good deeds, problems all over the place. I will give you a small example. Last year, there are social networking sites on the internet, global sites, remote. A Muslim sister from Spain started chatting with a boy in Pakistan. A sister from Spain on the internet chatting with somebody in Pakistan. She does not know about him, nor about background or parents or whatever. Their long distance relationship. The boy deceived this girl to send him a gift. And then he put the condition that you have to give this gift in person. So you have to come, take a ticket from Spain to other country and present this gift. And she promised. And later, she came to ask this question, that now this has happened, is it okay to break this promise? Will I break the heart of a human being by breaking this promise? No, deception from Shaitan. A strange man trying to deceive innocent sisters, hearts and mind with impure thoughts, waste of time and energy, anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In old times, people used to go for Hajj. The door of Kaaba, when it opens, there is a historic moment where in the Kaaba, the golden door, the inside in the Kaaba is being opened. Everybody would raise their hand, they would cry, and they would ask Allah for forgiveness. Today, when the door of Kaaba is opened, everybody take their phone cameras and they start to make a video of the show. In the Haram of Kaaba, two sisters came, Hajis. They spent hundreds, thousands of dollars to come to that place. And this is the place where dua is accepted, the good deed multiplies 100,000 times and more. And these sisters came to a non-mahram man saying, "Brother, can you take our photo? Can you take our photo here?" Life without haya and taqwa, mixing and chatting with non-mahram, news and magazines with strange pictures, women folk announcing strange programs and events to non-mahram men, obscene literature and novels, sisters posting their videos and pictures on internet. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We are living and we need to work in this environment. How to remind them about haya? Open Riyadhul Salihin and look at Kitabul Adab, Babul Haya, and read the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this topic. Allah. Our ulama explained the foundation of Islamic society is based on haya and simplicity. This is the cover, this is the skin and protective shield of Islamic civilization. Haya, we call it modesty or shame or shyness. It's a protection from so many types of sins. Like a skin protects from infection. Today the effort of batil and falsehood is that Muslims should have quarrel, they should lose unity, they would eat doubtful things to lose taqwa, and they would take their women folk out to lose purity and haya. There are some institutions, they may have signs and posters saying, "Shyness is sickness. Shyness is sickness." Astaghfirullah. In Islam, you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ" It's narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. When you don't have haya, then do whatever you like. Riyadhul Salihin, Kitabul Adab, Babul Haya. I will read just parts of the hadith. إِنَّ الْحَيَا مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Haya is part of Iman. Al-Haya la ya'ti illa bi khair. Haya does not bring anything except good. Muttafaqun alayh. Al-Haya kulluhu khair. This is narrated in Muslim. Haya is all good. Al-Haya shu'batun min al-Iman. Muttafaqun alayh. Haya is a branch of Iman. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد حياء من العذراء في خدرها. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم had more حياء, even shyer than a virgin girl behind her veil. You open other books of ahadith, Adab al-Mufrad, Musannaf ibn Shaybah. Indeed, حياء and إيمان are companions. when one of them is lifted, the other one leaves also. You open the book of Tirmidhi. Haya is never a part of anything, but it beautifies it. You open Shu'ab al Iman, Kanzul Ummal. The first to leave this dunya are Haya and Amana. The first qualities to leave this world are Haya and trustworthiness. Therefore, ask and beg Allah for those qualities. This is the main characteristic of a believer, and it's a true jewel and jewelry of a sister, Al-Haya. Now let us turn to the book of Hijab, written by Dr. Ismail Madni Sahab, Ramad Barkatuh, and let us look at how the Sahabiyat understood the issue of Haya and Hijab. Abu Dawood has a narration. One Sahabiya, Umme Khalad, she sent her son in the path of Allah and he became shaheed. So Umme Khalad came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask about him, and she was wearing complete hijab and also hiding her face behind a veil. So somebody asked her that in this sad moment when you have lost your son and you still have so much precaution about hijab, she said, I am distressed by the loss of my son and I don't wish to be distressed by the loss of my haya. From this incident we learn that even the sahabiyat, when they come in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, usually they would ask behind the curtain, and they are always with complete hijab. And they, if they have to come in front, they would have hijab and niqab, they are also covering their faces. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, what is the best thing for a woman? Ali radiallahu anhu went home and asked Fatima radiallahu anha, what is the best thing for a woman? She replied, the best thing for a woman is to protect herself from the eyes of men. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he said, Indeed, Fatima is part of me. The leader of all the ladies in Jannah, in paradise, Fatima radiallahu anha. When she died, her janaza was taken at night time. So much piety. When janaza was taken in the darkness, janaza was taken with an additional clothing or cover sheet on top of it. Around the world, every Friday, our imams in Jummah khutbah, in the second khutbah usually, they would read Fatimatu Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. فَعْطُمَا سَيَّدَةُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Once a Sahabiya, Umme Humaid radiallahu anha, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked that I wish to perform my salah with you in congregation in Masjid Nabawi Sharif. In Masjid Nabawi with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is mentioned in the rawayat of Ahmad and Ibn Khuzaymah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave nasiha that your salah in the innermost part of your house is better than offering in the living room, and offering in the living room is better than offering it in your courtyard, and offering your salah in the courtyard is better than offering in your neighborhood masjid, and your neighborhood masjid, offering there is better than coming to my masjid. The narration said that the Sahabiya, she marked a place in the innermost corner of her house for Salah and continued there for the rest of her life. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and two of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Umme Salama radiallahu anha and Maymuna radiallahu anha, were sitting, and a Sahabi came, Ibn Umme Maktoum, and he was blind. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the women folk veil yourself from him. You know, observe hijab. They said, O Prophet of Allah, isn't he blind? He cannot see us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, are the two of you also blind? Can't you both see him? We learn from this that as men folk are not allowed to look at women, the same applies for women folk also. Aisha radiallahu anha once said that if the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had witnessed the present times, he would have stopped women from going to the masjid. She is talking about the time of Sahaba and the Tabi'in, just after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where there was so much piety in those days. In Bukhari, in the book of Adab, Anas radiallahu anhu and Abu Talha, it is mentioned they were going with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on the camel with Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was also travelling with one of the Ummul Mumineen, Safiya radiallahu anha. It so happened, the camel, on the way, the camel suddenly slipped and they fell down from the camel. So Abu Talha was travelling behind, he rushed, there was an emergency problem. So he asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you need help? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to go and take care of the lady. So Abu Talha, now he had to go and help the lady. He is a man. He covered his face with a garment. Abu Talha, he covered his face with a garment before going to Ummul Mumineen. And he went there and put a sheet of cloth on top of her, and then came back and prepared the camel for the ride. Even at the time of emergencies, they would take this much precaution. Allah Akbar. How the Quran closes the doors of fitan. The men folk, if they go to somebody's house, they should seek permission. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا. O you who believe, do not enter houses other than your own houses until you ask for permission. And for women folk, وَقَّرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Remain in your homes and do not display beauty as it used to be displayed in the days of Jahiliyyah. Then if a strange man comes to the house and he needs to ask something, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ ذَلِكَ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ. And when you ask anything from them, ask them from behind a curtain. This is better for the purity of your hearts and their hearts. When the women folk need to go out for some necessity, if they need to go out of home, the command in Surah Ahzab, يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ. They should draw down their shawls over them. From the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till today, the Mufassireen, they explain that part of the ayah, saying that face covering is part of hijab. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Allama ibn Jarir rahmatullah alayh, Imam ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh, Imam ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayh, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, the author of Jalalain, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah alayh, Allama ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, the Fuqaha ulama of all four schools of thought, Hanafi, Shafi'i, Hanbali, Maliki. The proofs are in the book. Our purpose is just a small reminder. When the women folk, if they need to ask someone, then the command is given, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ وَقُلْنَ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Do not be too soft in your speech, lest someone having disease in his heart should develop fancies, and do speak with them with appropriate words. And another command is given, وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَ بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهِنَّ. Let them not stamp their feet in a way that the beauty or adornment they conceal is known. The scholars explain that even the noise of the jewelry will draw the attention of strangers. And some scholars, including Imam Abu Bakr Jassas, rahmatullah alayh, they say, when Allah included the sound of jewelry as an expression of beauty, what do you think about women folk wearing colored, decorated outer garments or different sharp colored abayas? Sometimes questions come, you know, why a black jilbab? This is the answer that we should go in the book of hijab and learn and ask the scholars. Now, my mothers and sisters of Ummah, sisters, mothers and daughters of the Ummah, the ayat of hijab came at the time of Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Sahabiyat and Sahaba Karam radiyallahu anhum, Ridwanullahu alayhim ajma'in. Their taqwa was like angels. The taqwa of Sahaba radiyallahu anhu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attested in the Quran, in Surah Fatah, وَأَلْزَمَهُمْ كَلِمَةَ التَّقْوَى وَكَانُوا أَحَقَّ بِهَا وَأَهْلَهَا. And Allah made them stick to the word of piety, and they were very much entitled to it and competent for it. Several places in the Quran, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is pleased with them, they are pleased with Allah. In the golden era of Islam, with the taqwa of like this, still the commands of hijab were so strict. Can you imagine how much necessary it is to observe those etiquettes and manners and rulings today? We need to save ourselves and the families from the shaitan and nafs. The bad environment, shaitan excites people to eat whatever you like, dress whatever you like, and meet whomever you like. Shaitan has promised to attack from all four directions. Living in this world today is like passing through a jungle which has bushes on both sides and holes on the ground. Every step with the fear of Allah. Jahannam is surrounded by things which appear attractive to the nafs, and Jannah is surrounded by things which are hard on nafs. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Surely those who like that al-fahisha spreads among the believers, for them there is painful punishment in the dunya and akhirah. Allah knows and you don't know. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ. We test you through bad and good situations with a trial, and to us you are to be returned. Read the whole Quran. Other than Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the name of any woman in the Quran. Always with family, always. Like Imra'atu Imran, Imra'atu Fir'aun, Ya Ukhta Harun. The Quran is very brief and concise. But sometimes, if you look in Surah Yusuf, the house lady, instead of mentioning her name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used four different words in Arabic. Allati huwa fi baytiha. Allati huwa fi baytiha. She in whose house he was, instead of saying the name. In Surah Rahman, Hurum maqsuratun fil khiyam. Huris kept guarded in the pavilions. In Tafsir Usmani, Shaykh has written that this is ishara, that the best place for women folk in their homes. In Surah Qasas, the story of Musa alayhi salam, when the daughter of Sayyidina Shuaib alayhi salam came to invite Musa alayhi salam to the house of Shuaib alayhi salam. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. Then one of the two women came to him walking with haya. The Quran has a beautiful expression. She is like walking on haya. The commentator, the Mufassirin, explained, when she came, when the girl came, she covered her face with the clothing on her arm. And when Musa alayhi salam started walking, he walked ahead in front and she followed from behind, so that Musa alayhi salam would not even look at her. Sahabiyat radiyallahu anhu, Sahabiyat, when they used to sit in their homes, they would not face the doors, they would face the walls. Maybe the door is open somehow by mistake and somebody could look at them. In today's world, when we are driving a car on the road, what happens? We have to assume that every other car which comes close, it's a potential problem. Slow down, change your lane, protect yourself, otherwise there will be accident. There's a quick story. A blind person had to go out of his home for a necessity to bring water. So he took the pot, the vessel or the flask on his head, and he was carrying a light or lamp on his hand. So people asked him, people were amazed and said, "Brother, you are blind. You are not able to see, so for you day and night does not matter. Why are you carrying this lamp with you?" The blind person said, "When it is dark, people who have eyes, they also make mistakes. I am carrying this lamp, so people with eyes, they recognize this lamp and they don't come close to me. Because if somebody touches me or hits me, my flask, my vessel or my pot will break and all the loss is mine." When you remind the sisters for the issue of hijab, use this story. That if someone goes and is not particular and careful about hijab, then every other man looking and shaitan is out there, bad thoughts, then all the loss and the problem is for the sister. Life of taqwa, when it comes to people or community, a sister would not even leave a broken piece of hair in a place where a non-mahram can see. They would even hide their colored sandals from the doormat, that maybe somebody non-mahram would come to the house to see it. They would even abbreviate and change their email names. They won't use their real names in their email. They would not even raise voices when going to masjid or even inside homes. Living for years, the neighbors may not even know the names of somebody's wife or somebody's grown-up daughter. When this comes to the community, you see even the people of other faith, they start respecting the customs of Muslims. Once, this is a real story in our city. A non-Muslim lady came to a Muslim brother. She turned her face on the other side and said, "I know I am not allowed to look at you, but I have something important to ask you." Hakim ul-Ummat used to say, if you follow Sharia and Islam, Allah will make other nations musakhar for you. They will respect you. In India, Nawab Mohsin al-Mulk, he went to Lord Curzon's palace. The British were ruling Lord Curzon's Viceroy Palace to get permission that Aligarh College could be made university. And Nawab Sahib was a very pious man. The Salah of Maghrib time came. And in the group there was another lawyer, a Muslim lawyer. So Nawab Sahib said, let's pray Maghrib. And the other brother, he thought, this is the palace of Viceroy, Lord Curzon, how can we pray? Muhsinul Mulk, he would insist, and he prepared and he took permission that I need to pray Maghrib Salah. And the Viceroy, the ruler of the whole India, he was waiting. And after the Salah was over, the Lord Curzon was so happy and he said, today in my palace, in the Viceroy's palace, first time in the history, today the name of God was taken. I am so happy. I am so happy. And this other person who did not pray, he come with you. If I don't respect you, I would have thrown him out from my palace because he did not pray. When we follow Islam, everybody would respect us. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayh bought a servant. He took him home and said, what is your name? The servant said, I am your servant. Whatever you would like, you can call me. Malik asked him, choose a dress for you. He said, you are my master. Whatever you choose, I will use that dress. Malik asked him, what would you like to eat? He said, you are my master. Whatever food you give me, I would eat. Malik asked him, choose a place for your living. Servant said, you are my master. Whatever corner of your home you give me, I am happy, I am pleased. Jo aapki pasand, wahi humko pasand. Malik said, you are teaching me the adab and manner how I should behave with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And please, you are free, go away. Whatever Allah likes, we should like. Imam Shayrani rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a prescription that you want to become a shaykh or a pious awliya of Allah, kutub of your time, then think on the face of earth today. Wherever the commands of Allah and sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being broken, ma'rufat are being erased and forgotten, munkarat are spreading and increasing, have a deep sorrow. Cry to Allah to revive the khair and ma'ruf and to remove the munkar. And then use your heart and mind and asbab and means for the effort. And cry that deen is going away and I am alive. Deen is going away and I am alive. A beautiful story of a sister which came to Islam in this country long time ago. She used to be an office secretary, very high paid job, very high pay salary. She studied Islam on her own and accepted Islam. And she learned that now she should observe hijab and everything. After some time, she gave up that highly paid job. And just for a living, she was cleaning household jobs. She went to Hajj and she cried in Baytullah. That, oh Allah, you gave me hidayah. I was jahil and ignorant for whole life and you gave me hidayah. And she made a promise to spread deen, to work on other sisters. She learned the Quran, started teaching the Quran. She had intention to marry a pious man. So marriage proposals came. In every proposal she would ask, is the boy or man a very pious man? So finally, a proposal came from an Afro-American person. And he was a pious man. So people asked him, people said, he is an Afro-American brother. She said, even if his skin is dark color in this world, that is just for few years in the dunya. If this man is pious, his face will be nurani with radiant and light on the day of judgment. So I am happy. They got married. The couple traveled to Aligarh University in India. This is how the work of Dawat is started there. In Aligarh University, it was announced that a sister from America is going to talk about Islam, women-only conference. So everybody came, all the students, and some sisters came in their fashion dresses to match the society in America. Some came without hijab. And this sister came with full hijab, and she addressed them and reminded them about Allah and Akhirah and Jannah and Jahannam. And she said, "My sisters, you have so many good qualities. The choice is yours. You want to spend it in dunya, or you want to spend in the, for the life hereafter for the sake of Allah." Then in the end she said, "Your lifestyle that you are trying to match the West is what we have thrown away to come to Islam. We have spit out this type of lifestyle to come to Islam." Listening to her speech, all the sisters in Aligarh University, they changed their minds. In their places, tasbihat, tilawat, hijab, everything started. Vacation time, those sisters wrote to their parents that we would like to go in the path of Allah to spread deen. Concern, worry and concern of one sister changes hundreds and hundreds of people. Imagine the reward in the life hereafter. Jannah, paradise, 10 times bigger than this whole world for an ordinary believer. Rivers of milk and honey, palaces of gold and silver. In Jannah, there is a palace, all red rubies. There is a palace with all diamonds. And which Jannah you would like to go? Darussalam, Jannatul Ma'wa, Jannatul Khuld, Jannatul Na'im, Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul Adn. So many places, description of Jannah is given. We should write some paper and hand out an article on Jannah. If one woman of Jannah is to look at this world, the whole space between the heavens and the earth would be filled with light and perfume. If she just showed the tip of her finger, the sunlight would become dim. If she spits in the ocean, the whole ocean would become sweet. Just her hijab costs more than the whole world and whatever it contains. May Allah grant those garments of honor to our believing sisters in this dunya. كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. They will look like rubies and corals. كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونِ. Like hidden pearl. And the pious believing mu'mina of this world will be made much more beautiful than the hoor of Jannah. 70,000 times more beautiful than the hoor of Jannah. وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ. Salamun alaykum bima sabartum fa ni'ma uqbad dar. The angels will enter onto them from every gate saying, "Peace be on you for the patience you observed. Peace be on you for the patience you observed." How excellent is the ultimate destination. Imagine a person was blind whole lifetime. He had iman. He lived with sabr and shukr, trying to do good deeds. When this person goes to Jannah in the hereafter, he will be given such great eyes, everlasting eyes, to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. "My servant, you have not seen the beauty, temporary beauty of this world. Now look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you wish." A sister or daughter who observes complete hijab and protects from non-mahrams, Allah will look at her with love on the Day of Judgment. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَعْضِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَعْضِرَةٌ. Some faces that day shining, radiant, looking at their Lord. Let's talk about love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaqiq Balqi, Shaqiq Balqi rahmatullah alayh, he saw a handicapped person on the desert in hot weather, crawling on the ground. So, brother, where are you going? And he said, I am going towards Baytullah, Kaaba. I am going to visit Kaaba Sharif. So he asked him, brother, for how long you have been traveling like this? Where did you come from? The handicapped person said, I came from Central Asia, from Samarkand. And it took me 10 years, I have been crawling on my hands and feet to go to Kaaba. 10 years crawling. And he said, my Lord, I am coming to visit you. The destination of love is difficult, but true shauq would help me. And he told the Shaykh, are you amazed? My master is carrying me. My master is carrying me towards Kaaba. At the time of Hajj, hot air blowing, no problem for Hajjis. Sweating, no problem. Tired, hungry, thirsty, smelly, in 100 degree Fahrenheit, no problem. Thousands and thousands of Mominat, believing women, head to toe in black, jilbab, burqa, abaya, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. This is the path of love. Imagine today, billions of dollars of industry to decorate every part of human face. So much time and income is spent. But due to evil gazes and lustful looking of non-mahram, peace of mind is lost. Crimes taking place, depression, problems all over the place. Now imagine a mu'mina, a believer, a sister, wakes up at night for Qiyamul Layl, performs tahajjud, long sajda, deep devotions, great reward in the akhirah, and also what happens? Noor and radiance and light on her face, without using anything artificial. You pray Salatul Tasbih and you can see the difference. We should learn deen from the books and from respected teachers. We should also learn the spirit and devotion of deen from new Muslims. In India, new Muslim sisters, they hide even from their parents. They go inside their room, they observe hijab, they perform their prayers. Nobody in the world knows they are Muslim. A sister in UK came to Islam a few years ago. A sister in England came to Islam. She learned about hijab, so the question came, do I need to observe hijab from my husband? And I live with my mother and sister and they are non-Muslim. How much hijab I need to observe from my mother and sister? This was her devotion, that whatever command and etiquette and manner in Islam is, I am willing and ready to observe. On the east coast side, there was a great da'i of Allah, Colonel Sahab, rahmatullah alayh. He used to go around and invite people, tell them about purpose of life, invite them to Allah. One day it so happened, he went to a nightclub. There were people, music was going on, dance was going on. So this Sheikh had so much concern. He went even to that place and requested people, beg him to listen to him. He talked about Allah, talk about Akhirah, talk about Jannah and Jahannam. Many people made tawbah. So much so, they changed their lives. And the woman who was dancing on the stage, she also came to Islam. They used to get thousands of dollars every night, but they changed their life. So we want to please Allah. After some time, after some weeks or months passed, a call came to the same da'i ilallah, and the sister was asking, the same sister who was dancing on the floor a short while ago, now she changed life so much, and she said, we gave up that old profession, we are doing small household jobs, and I was going on a bus, and I was holding the handle on the bus, and it so happened that the cloth on my wrist, little bit of part of cloth on my wrist was removed. Will I go to Jahannam for that? A total change in the lifestyle of people when they have love of Allah and when they understand the great reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for them. We will recite the darood and we will make dua for the ummah. And this topic is very, very important for the whole ummah, for all our mothers and sisters and daughters in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.